Blog
we want to come
radio.
On and why is this song starting again? I had deleted the song. Here we go, Blog Talk Radio.
Yes.
It didn't say the first
baby, you're my little secret.
And now I played everything.
Secret. If you don't tell, I won't tell. And that's what we're gonna keep it. See, baby, you're my little secret. And that's how we gotta keep it.
Did anybody see ya coming to my house last night? When I got your message in my beeper, that you wanna do everything I like. Alright, alright.
I'm
being
there
with you with your girl, and the fact that she don't know that really turns me on. You never guess in a million years that we got this thing going.
Radio keeps playing the same "You're My Little Secret" song. Now the first week I uploaded it, it didn't play. Remember I was downstairs in the kitchen getting water?
Yeah.
And it was, wow. It didn't play. And now that we don't need no music. It just keeps playing the song, and the song is not even, it's not uploaded or nothing. It's deleted. But I'm glad y'all like the song, though.
Well, I'm ladies and gentlemen, laugh. Welcome back to Busta Nut Radio.
Oh, my God. No, I wanted to come on and do a show tonight because I didn't get to do on Friday. I was extremely tired, so I didn't get a chance to do anything Friday when I got home. So I said, okay, well, you know, we'll do something tonight. So how's your day gone so far? It is freezing up here. How's the weather in where you at, Indiana?
Yeah, I'm in Indiana. Basically, like, I'm just living in a freezer right now. Yeah, outside is cold as hell. So we get the backwash from what you guys have. It's about somewhere in the low teens, and it's still cold as shit.
At least you're in the low teens. I went today to go start my car this morning because I had to go to work. I was like, dang, I got to go to work. Man, I couldn't even breathe. I was in the garage trying to start the car. I was like, oh, no, but I have a remote starter. So I started, I opened the garage door, and it was just all this cold air. And by the time I got to work, it was negative 20. It was crazy. And all the kids are home from school. So my kids are home. They're out of school tomorrow because tomorrow's going to be negative 40. So, and I'm off tomorrow, thank God. But this is the coldest winter ever. So I don't know what's going on, but it's just, it's freezing. They're saying it's happening all over the nation.
Can't mess with it. Can't mess with it.
What's they calling it? The Polar Express? Polar something. Polar, I don't know. Something polar.
They say it's the polar vortex, but all we're experiencing is a harp winter. That's all.
Right. Remember last year was all the little, the hurricanes and what was that, the Frankenstorm Sandy and all that mess? And now we're having the coldest winter in history, like. I just feel like they're just steadily playing with the weather. We talked about this last year about HARP and everything else. And it's crazy. It really is. It's crazy how everything's starting to go down.
Oh, yeah. Well, there's a lot we have to talk about. So, T, what's on your mind tonight? I know there's a lot of nonsense going on today.
Yes, it's been a bunch of crap. You know, I was talking to Ronan earlier. I'm getting trolled by some little racist white kid, and I guess his little crew, and he feels some type of way about my YouTube videos. Not that I give two fucks, but it's just the point. Like I always talk about people's selective outrage. You know, people feel some type of way when somebody does something, but then when other people do it, it's okay. How many people on YouTube do news commentary? I can name three right off the bat. Me, Tommy, a Vice TV show, Amazing Atheist. It's a bunch of people, you know, but for some reason they want to keep messing with me, maybe because I'm a female, because, you know, it's easy to go at a female, especially a black female, as opposed to, you know, a white dude. You know, Sexy Phil, he does news commentary. He talks about people's deaths. He talks about all types of stuff. And everybody, no matter if you're uploading twerk videos, if you're freestyling, if you're talking about the news, they put ads on everybody's videos. Everybody gets money off of YouTube. It's called YouTube for a reason. Anybody can set up a channel and start, you know, making money, point blank. And so this person has some type of issue with me, and they've been trolling my account. They've been blocked off of everything. And then they went onto my website and started posting videos, just saying all types of bullshit, racist stuff, posting porn. And so I have blocked their profile, and they built 7 profiles. And I'm taking email addresses, IP addresses. I'm taking all the notes down. And like I said, they keep playing all this shit. We'll be forwarded to the police. I don't play them games. You know what I'm saying? I already have a file for whenever I get harassed from people online. I forward everything to the police department. You know, and it's just sad that when somebody's trying to do something positive, it's like somebody's got something to say. Somebody feels some type of way. Now, if I was just on YouTube shaking my ass and flashing people and showing my titties and all that other shit, they'd be cool with that. But once you're trying to put something out there to make people think and let people see a big picture, all of a sudden this person has a problem. But it's like, why would you think you could come onto my site, talk shit, and then post porn, and the shit's just on play? No, I don't think so, honey. I run my site. I do IT. I run the back end of it. So it was just kind of funny. Somebody thought they could come on there and just post all types of nonsense, and the shit would just stay up. So I blocked them. I blocked their profiles, banned them, banned their email addresses. You know, it's just a lot of really immature people, but it just goes to show you, like I always say, racism is not dead. And anytime you're a person of color handling your business, doing what you got to do, you are going to find somebody who feels some type of way. And that's what I was saying in the Richard Sherman video. People feel some type of way if they feel like you an uppity nigga. If you somebody who knows about themselves, you know where you come from, you proud of who you are, you make no apologies for who you are, it makes certain white people, not all, but certain, feel very, very uncomfortable. They don't like it. And that's just the truth. People can say what they want to say, but I see it every day. I get racist comments sent to me all the time, racist emails, you know, just a bunch of nonsense. I really don't talk about it. I don't try and focus about it, you know, especially on YouTube because it's not that serious. But I see it all the time. And I just think it's just, it's crazy. It's crazy how, you know, people get so upset about shit that shouldn't really be no concern to them. Like, you have your own channel. Focus on building your shit. Why you worry about what the hell I'm doing over here?
We talked about this off the air before we came on, and it is curious. Like, this is a question I pose to everybody else who's listening. If black people are supposedly, you know, the scum of the earth underneath the barrel and a bunch of savages, how is it that at every turn, especially when we're doing something positive or we're just talking about anything, we get all this attention? Why would you pay attention to something that isn't worth, supposedly worth the time, or we're supposed to go back to a certain place? You know, I'm a little bit curious. And you got to ask yourself, if we're supposedly the 13 or 16% of the population, we shouldn't matter. That's my understanding.
Right. Yep, it's the trip. I don't know what I was just typing in there. I was trying to type something. I wasn't even done. I was trying to type titles, and it came up titties.
Wow. Okay. Well, Lovely T's having a titty moment.
I'm in the chat and trying to talk to people at the same time, and I accidentally hit the enter button when I was this done. Yo, 225. Okay, so Bill O'Nerd is in the chat room talking, and he's saying that that's right. They're also always trying to accuse people of being part of the Illuminati if you're starting to, you know, do your thing. And I was telling, I've been accused of that too. Yeah, I had a dude break down one of my videos and was like, you know, your lip gloss is Illuminati, and you use your lip gloss to entice men to watch your video. He had a whole breakdown of how I was enticing people to watch my videos. I was like, oh, okay, so I'm Illuminati. Well, last time I checked, I haven't received no fruit basket. I haven't gotten no welcome package. And my ass be up at 4 o'clock in the morning ready to go to work. Because Rona be calling me at like 6 a.m. like, T.T., you up? Yep, I'm up. I'm getting ready. I'm getting the kids ready. What kind of Illuminati package do I have if I'm in the Illuminati? Because
well,
my ass still getting up going to work every morning.
Well, see, you have to understand, T, that you're an Illuminati intern. You're not full-fledged Illuminati yet. So you have to earn your stripes.
I got to earn my stripes. Okay. Because I'm starting to feel some type of way. Because I'm like, well, damn, you know, I got all this exposure, and I still ain't got my fruit basket, welcome card. You know what I'm saying? I ain't got no luxury car, none of that. I always find that funny when that's the first thing people say. And I had posted a video about Charlamagne the God when he was talking about how people will come up to him and be like, man, I don't see how you deal with all them celebrities. They're all part of the Illuminati and this, this, and that. And Charlamagne broke it down like, you know, it's to the point now where it's just a weak excuse for black folks to make excuses for why they're not doing what they're supposed to do. Man, I can't make it because of Illuminati. Man, I can't make it because of white man. Man, I can't. It's just a bunch of excuses. It's easy to blame some secret society as opposed to looking at yourself as to why you're not handling your business. And, you know, it's just starting to become a crutch now. It's like you can't be black and rich, you can't be black and famous unless you done sold your soul. And like I said, at first, when I first would get sent some Illuminati videos, at first, you know, because they were so powerful, because anything with imagery and, you know, scary music, You know, you got to have the spirit music. It's powerful enough to sway you. So, I, you know, at first, like I told you on that Beyonce video I did, I was scared. I was like, dang, I got to throw away all my Beyonce music, my Jay-Z, Rihanna. You know, they're all devil worshippers. They're all evil. And then when I stopped being scared and I started, like, really, you know, researching what the Illuminati was, you know, who are these 13 bloodlines, the Bilderberg Group, the Trilateral Commission, just all types of, you know, real information, reading Behold the Pale Horse by William Cooper. When I really started educating myself, I was like, you know what I'm saying, fuck these hip-hop people, they're peons. You know, they might be tools. They might be, you know, people that they just use to try and, you know, get stuff out to the masses, but they're not the Illuminati. Jay-Z couldn't be a blue blood if he paid all his money to. You know what I mean? And it's like people just like try to run their mouth and try and talk about stuff they have no idea about. And it's easy to say that, you know, Jay-Z is a devil worshiper, Beyonce's part of the Illuminati, than to just say, you know what, they made it and it is what it is. For whatever reason, they're famous. They might have been some hands in the pot as to why they're as successful as they are. But at the end of the day, what Jay-Z and Beyonce do, what type of speech that Jay-Z gives, it's not affecting my day-to-day life. The people who are in government, you know what I mean? The people who are out here cutting jobs. At my job, they just did a layover and over 400 people lost their job. We literally came into work. I told you this. We literally came into work. What was that, Thursday? And we found out that 400 people in our company are not working. So I don't give a fuck about Jay-Z and Beyonce and all these hip-hop celebrities and who's worshiping the devil. I'm more concerned with the economy, with the government, with Obama and stuff like that that's really affecting everyday people. That's the problem. We get into these conspiracies and we just go nut crazy when we learn some new shit. But we're not realizing to focus all that energy and attention on the stuff that's really, you know, affecting us day to day.
Just hearing all the excuses kind of make me tired. Just as everybody worry about these so-called secret societies, you know, something that we need to pay attention to, but then, like, why don't we take care of the stuff that we can manage? As far as, you know, not just, you know, our homes, ourselves, and our communities, why won't we even try that? Not to dissuade, you know, the existence of these, you know, these cliques, but some people just get so enamored with excuses. It's like a lifestyle now. Something's always holding me down. Something's in the way. Something's always this and that. Like, again, you know, there's strength in numbers, and people tend to forget that. You know, if we had our collective heads together and took care of shit, they had no choice either to go with it. They'd have to. But
you know, like I said, it's easier for people to have excuses, you know, and blame everybody else, blame people who don't really matter. I mean, I just don't see how anybody lets any celebrity, good or bad, regardless if you're a fan or not a fan, affect them that deeply. I can't allow anybody that's not in my inner circle, that's not my family, to affect me that deeply. Point blank. You have people out here who just really have no life. You know, I mean, it's no different than, you know, people on the internet feeling some type of way about certain vloggers, certain YouTubers. And it's like, if you don't like them, and you don't like the videos, you don't like the content that they make, and you think anything about them, good or bad, but, you know, mainly bad, because obviously you don't like them, why do you continue to watch their shit? Why do you continue to troll? And, you know what I mean? Because when I don't like somebody and I don't like something they're saying, I stay the hell away. I thought that was common sense, but it seems like people don't do that anymore. They feel they need to keep, you know, fucking with folks. And then when they get their ass whooped, now, you know what I'm saying, then it's the issue.
I wanted to bring something up, too, T, because, like, Big brought this up, and it's really it got on my nerves ever since I heard it. But I want to say publicly, fuck Justin Bieber. He's today's version of Vanilla Ice. Again, a lot of people want to big up this little lame-ass dude, but really, when it says a great deal, because all this started when Michael Jackson dubbed Chris Brown, you know, the heir apparent, and people were all up in arms about that. So now, ever since he had that one incident, they've been all fucking Chris Brown's ass from day one. But Justin Bieber's out here trying to be this little hood booger thug, sagging his pants, trying to be little Tupac, spitting in the camera just like Tupac did, same jersey. He out here hanging with his little wannabe thug, whatever it was, Lil Z or whatever, Twist, whatever the fuck his name is. And he's getting caught drag racing, drugs, just doing all some kind of ratchet shit and getting, you know, a lot of privilege to do so. Smiling on, you know, on a camera, you know, basically when he's taking those little photo mug shots, which I honestly believe Justin Bieber is Miley Cyrus. But I'm going to keep that. I'm just going to say that myself. But it's I just get tired of the fucking hypocrisy out here. Because, again, like, Chris Brown hasn't done even half the shit Bieber is doing. This dude is not as talented as Chris. Can't dance like Chris. Basically running around with a bunch of Bieber zombies out here, you know, cutting themselves whenever he got in trouble or whatever. And this dude's been showing his ass for 2+ years. And they keep making excuses saying he's a young kid. But then when it comes to Chris Brown, he's basically going through a nervous breakdown and say he's a grown-ass man doing kind of shit. And that's what I hate, that selective outrage and hypocrisy.
Right.
I hate it.
Well, I mean, it just goes back to show you, too. Like, you know, people can say what they want to say, but again, it's to me, it's true about the whole white privilege thing that we talked about on YouTube. You know, when it comes to, you know, certain people, they're just more privileged regardless if you have money or not, because Chris Brown is rich. It ain't like Chris Brown is broke. So he's rich just like JB's rich. And I want to venture to say he probably has, you know, close to about, maybe not as much, but, you know, let's say like in his early career, probably just as rich as Justin Bieber, because at one point in time, Chris was very popular. You know, so, and again, like you said, he still gets treated like crap. Devin is saying in the chat room, he's saying that CNN actually halted a news story just to do a story on Justin Bieber.
They did.
That was today?
No, it was the other day. And it was like, when they did that, I said, there's a lot more other, more important shit than to worry about what the fuck, about Bieber watch. No one gives a shit about Bieber. I done wiped my ass and seen more interesting shit than fucking Justin Bieber.
VH1 Access is saying that CNN needs to say that for E! News. And I believe that, too. I think it's kind of sad that it's the point now where when you go to turn on the news, it's just celebrity news. Like, you can barely get real news on the news station. You watch CNN, and it's literally like they're talking more about viral videos and internet bullshit than the news. It's like when I watch, I'm paying money for this channel. You know what I mean? Like, this channel isn't free. So when I click CNN, I want to hear news. I don't want to hear about the video that's gone viral, because if I want to know what the latest viral video is, I can just log on to the internet. If I want to hear about Justin Bieber, I can just go on to the blogs. And it seems like these news networks have now mirrored themselves onto the blogs, and they're so in competition with the internet that they forgot to literally deliver us the news. And I mean, it's so frustrating to watch the news. It really is, especially CNN. Because Fox News is so, you know, one-sided, I can't stand they, you know, their programming.
Well, it says a lot when TMZ, Fox News, and CNN and MSNBC are basically in the same league, in the same conversation. TMZ is a gossip show. But again, the days of actual journalism, you know, with Walter Cronkite and all that, That's pretty much almost extinct, because now we live in an area of people just like concentrated stupid. No one's taught to think anymore. No one's taught to read or research anymore. It's like it's always some viral bullshit going on. Next thing you know, they'll be covering stories on World Star Hip Hop on CNN.
Oh, too late. They're ready to.
Well.
Like when they have fight videos and stuff.
Yeah. You know, I mean, but look at how far we've fallen as far as the people. We're not at the level of intelligence that we're supposed to be at. And this is why you're supposed to read for yourself and not rely on news, because news is not even news anymore. There's like CNN's, like all, if you look at this, it's been a slow news cycle, but all the goofy-ass stories they've been putting on there. Nothing important, where you had people talking shit to Dennis Rodman, the same dude they were sitting there cheering in a dress. Now they're expecting him to talk to Kim Jong-un like he's a diplomat or something. Fucking hypocrite.
Right. Oh, yeah, that whole Dennis Rodman thing is a trick. They're trying to get him now for supposed treason. They're trying to see if he gave too many gifts to Kim Jong-un and all this other mess. I mean, it's I don't know, but they got it in for him. They don't stress him out so much. He went off.
But you know what I don't, you know what I don't see? I don't see the guys who actually betrayed, you know, the United States, you know, in the same light. You know, you had Snowden. Yeah, that dude that joined the Taliban. Yeah, at least you know the people who did some crazy shit. And they don't even get even a third of the press. They're talking about Dennis Rodman. Besides, why would you want the same guy you had in the dress, getting drunk and doing supposedly bisexual and doing crazy shit, want to talk to a so-called dictator on the behalf of the United States on some guy who, you know, happened to get caught up doing some shit?
Right.
What's the point?
But I think they're really mad because of all the people in the world that Kim could have became friends with. He chose Dennis Rodman. So that's like a slap in the face to all the ambassadors and, you know, all the people who are running the government. It's like, how the hell did this, you know, like you said, this cross-dressing Negro end up cool with Kim Jong-un? You know, it's just crazy. But when I watched a little special on him on the Vice Channel, it was interesting just to see their dynamic and everything else. And, you know, the stuff that goes on in North Korea is a trip, you know. But, again, who am I to judge their country when there's a lot of messed up stuff that goes on here? And that's the thing. We need to clean up home here and make sure that everybody here is straight, you know, has a job, they're comfortable, you know, they're able to live their life before we go worrying about North Korea and what they're doing to their people. There's a lot of folks here who are oppressed, you know. So I think the whole situation with Dennis Rodman and Kim Jong-un, you know, I find their whole dynamic interesting. But, again, like you said, he's not a diplomat. I don't want him talking on behalf of the American people to Kim Jong-un. That's not his damn job. He's a ball player. Yeah. Stick to dribbling ball. You know, hang out with your friend and dribble ball. He doesn't need to get into politics. That's not his job. He can't even handle his damn liquor. So how are you going to handle politics?
well, they put certain people on the air on purpose. And you notice that they basically like to interrupt people who are articulate and like to handle themselves in certain situations. Like, they always have those, like, trap questions. But then if you're quick on your feet, they want to hurry up and get you off the air like they did Charles Smith, the one they had Robin on there, where they could easily irritate him. Of course, that plays into the stereotypes, you know, that they, you know, often portray and protect. But if they really want a real news story, why don't they do a news story on all the abandoned houses in the United States could house the homeless six times over?
Right. Yeah, the whole situation is a trip. You know, VH1 Access is saying that it seems like social media is taking over. Everything is Twitter, Instagram, and I definitely believe that. You know, like I always say, especially being in the technology field, I love technology just for the fact, like, you know, I just love, I guess, that technical aspect of it and how things work and how things tick. But the thing that also scares me about technology, and I talk about this a lot with my coworkers and, with, you know, when I talk to my clients on the phone when I'm troubleshooting, is the fact that the scary thing is how dependent we are.
Yeah.
Like when somebody's laptop literally goes down and I have to fix it and try and get it back up, you know, like let's say they get the blue screen of death, and I have to get this laptop back up and running, just to, like, hear the anxiety in their voice and in their, and, you know, just to see the anxiety. People literally get sick, like physically ill, when their phones are not working, when they can't get into their email, when their laptops are down. God, when our servers went down a few weeks ago, it was like, it was nuts. You know, it was nuts. Like people were just literally just going crazy. You know, it's like we rely so much on technology. It's insane. It's insane. And that's the part that kind of frightens me, because it's like we've come so far in just these last few years. It's like, what's it going to be like when my kids get to be, you know, my age and start working? Because I remember a time, you know, just growing up in the 80s and 90s, in order to call your friend's house, okay, you have to call their house phone, and you have to talk to their parents. You have to say, you know, hi, Miss such and such, can I speak to, you know, Jamal, is Jamal in? Nowadays, there is no that. You know, all the kids have cell phones. I don't know who the hell's calling my son half the time. You know, I hear him on the phone. Who are you talking to? Oh, it's such and such. Well, who's that? One of my friends from school. And it's just like, you know, like that's messed up that I don't get to have that interaction with who that person is on the other end. Like how my parents did. They screened the calls. They knew who was calling. You know, it's just sad. And even now, my son's entire curriculum is on an iPad. And at first, you know, it's like I thought it was cool because, you know, again, I'm in the technology field, so it's like, dang, this is real technical. I don't like it. I hate the fact that he has an iPad. I do not like it. And we go back and forth all the time. And he's like, what's the big deal? And I just don't like it. I don't like the fact that all your homework is on there. I don't like the fact that everything that y'all do is based on electronics. If anything was to go down, if it gets stolen, if it gets lost, if it gets wet, all your data is gone. Just like that. I don't like that dependency and the fact that kids are so used to the technology and, you know, on top of, you know, what they're supposed to do with the iPad, which is homework and stuff, they're also free to do whatever. So now all he does is sit in front of the iPad and watch movies and watch this and do that. And, you know, and I have to be on top of him. Whereas before, you know, when he wants to use the computer, you were using the computer in the family room. And I could see what you're on and what you're doing. You know, so it's just like as technology gets, you know, out there, it's just, it's getting worse. We don't even know how to deal with each other anymore as human beings. You know, like we don't even, how many times have you pulled up at your friend's house and just called them and told them to come out or text them and said, I'm outside, as opposed to getting out the car, turning off your car, knocking on the door, and physically going in and seeing everybody in the household and speaking to folks. We've just gotten so comfortable with technology. It's sad. You know, I've gotten wedding invitations via Facebook. I've gotten funeral announcements via Facebook. You know, birthday invitation. It's like, damn, what happened to the days when you would call people and literally talk to them like, hey, you know, my party's coming up. I would love for you to come. People don't even do that no more. They just send out a mass text. Everything is so impersonal nowadays, and that's what I hate the most about technology.
Well, we have to really ask ourselves, have we been comfortable or have we been crippled by technology? And I say that because, like, there was a time when we actually learned how to be – our social network was actually going outside and seeing our community, our friends, one neighborhood or another neighborhood. We was out there playing outside. We stayed in shape. Either we was on bikes. Either we was out there running around playing sports, or you had girls doing double dutch, or doing all kind of, you know, activities when we were, you know, younger. You know, we was out, they promoted recess. It was always us doing something. We was always either in the middle of something, things were fun at the time. Nowadays, obesity is through the roof. You're seeing a bunch of little terios, terios running around here because no one wants to, you know, all their friends are online, not in person. You got people who don't know how to talk to or relate to each other in person. It's, again, technology was supposed to aid things. It was supposed to, like, help things along, but you have people so dependent on them. Like, if they don't have their phone, they don't know how to act.
Mm-hmm.
Or when they have, like, if they don't have their Facebook profile, they'll go into fits. They don't know how to talk to people in person. They don't know how to hold a conversation. Anyway, it's always the whole texting thing. You know, again, like you said, like, no one gets out the car and knows how to go up and knock on someone's door and ask them to come out. It's all right, well, I'm on my way, and it's a text. I mean, in ways it can be expedient, but then, like, when you come too dependent on it, you think about the people who don't know how to cook, don't know how to, plant and grow food in their house. You know how people like to... There's some people who don't even know how to do simple household chores or boil water, anything. It's always been, you know, well, I'm in a society where I have smartphones but stupid people.
Right. Yeah, it's gotten that bad. You know, it really has, and it's sad. Like I told my son, when I was growing up, you always had that one fat kid in class. Keep it real. Everybody had that one fat kid. Because my first little fool, he was the fat kid in class. Yes, he was. That's my little boo. He was a fat kid in class.
Goodness.
So in every, you know, who's going to, if you just had the one fat kid? Now, you go to an elementary school, now you be like, well, damn, all the kids is big. You know, it's because kids don't go outside and play no more. It's the truth. You know, they're so busy on the video games and on Facebook. They don't run around. I mean, it's just, it's sad. It just really is. I remember when, you know, growing up, you'd have play dates. You know, the kids would come over on the weekend and you go to your friend's house, and people don't do that no more. People just don't. Oh, y'all can play on Facebook. Y'all can play on, you know, Xbox. And it's like when them kids came to my son's birthday party, what was that, last weekend, when I had all them dang on kids over here, when I tell you they ran around this house, they went outside. They were gone for like 2 hours just running around playing football and, because it's like they don't get a chance to do that all the time. And it's sad. Because it's like we've made it so much so where it's just like you see your friends at school and then you can see them on Facebook as opposed to, you know, going outside after school and hanging with your friends and getting out the house. You know, but they really ran around, and it was cold, but they put on their coats, and I made sure everybody had on their hats, and they ran around outside. They was gone for about 2 hours running around playing football and everything else. They had went down to the park. But it's like, you know, it's sad that kids don't do that. They don't get out anymore. And like you said, they don't know how to socialize. We're raising a bunch of people who are dependent on their phones. I mean, I know there's been times, I ain't even going to lie, where I done left my phone at home. I'm talking about I'm on the freeway 15 minutes from home. Guess what TT did? Turned my ass right back around and went back and got my phone. I'm like, damn, this is some sick shit. But that's how technology is, because, to be honest with you, when I was in the fifth and sixth grade, I knew everybody's phone number in my class. Somebody could call me and be like, what's Leticia's number? 651-222. I'm telling you, I knew everybody's number in my class, male or female, because our class is real, real close like that. You ask me today what my phone number is? I don't know. I don't even know what my number is.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If somebody was to be like, okay, call your mom. I don't know what my mom's number is. I know the area code is 612 and it's 310. I don't know the last of the digits. So if I get caught out here in the snowstorm, I get sick or something happens, I don't have nobody's number memorized. And that's the scary thought. So I can't be without my phone. You know, if I had to turn all the way back around and go get my phone, and it's like, damn, there was a point in time where I knew everybody's number. It's crazy. Yeah.
Well, there's another part, too. I noticed, like, when we were growing up, there was a time where you had cashiers give you correct change. No problem.
Mm.
Now you got, I go to McDonald's and I see, like, the picture of the food that you're asking for, and they got to do it that way. They can't type up, you know, whatever menu, I mean, the thing on the menu is nowadays. It's like they have the machine give out correct change, because you got some people who either give you too much change. Or not enough. So now you start learning how to, you know, make use of the education that you had in school. So now it's just, you're just going through the motions in class. Or there'll be those times where we would sit there and, like, actually had to get that progress report. And we had to get that signed in classroom. Now, I mean, granted, technology can help get things a lot more expedient. But then our dependence on everything has made us more lazy. And it's really cost us a lot of things. There's, like, young kids having diseases like obesity and the gout. Plus, you got to add the whole thing with Ritalin and, you know, the school's propensity to add kids into the whole special education program to get funding, you know, extra funding for that. We're basically being, like, obliterated in great numbers.
Right.
Just because of our sheer laziness.
Right, and it is. It's sad. You know, like I said, there's a lot of new things coming down the pipeline, but it's to the point now, it's like, I don't even know if I want the latest this, and that. You know, why every 6 months we have to get the latest phone? You know, why every other year there's a new system, there's a new iPhone, there's a new, you know, touch, there's a new something. Now we have the smart TVs that literally watch you. You can exercise via your TV. Well, how do I do that? Well, the TV's watching you, and you just put your hand up here, and you can touch your hand virtually. What kind of creepy shit is that? I don't want the TV watching me, because how do I know the TV's not watching me while I'm in bed getting it on? You know what I mean? So it's just like, nah, hell no. It's too much now. It's a bit much. And they're starting to do things to kind of desensitize people, too, to think it's the norm. They were doing this pilot show, and VH1 Access, you let me know if you've seen it or if any of you guys have seen it in the chat room. It was, I want to say, it was on Bravo. And it was called, I think, The People Are Watching, or What the People Are Watching. And the whole premise of the show is basically you're watching real people like me and you in our homes watching reality TV. So you know how we all get up on Twitter and we all tweet to each other and talk shit about, you know, Real Housewives or Love and Hip Hop? Well, what this show was, You were basically in the TV watching the family watch the reality TV shows and getting their reaction. And they're trying to, you know, make it seem like it's cool and it's fresh and, you know, this is a way of the television and, oh, you guys are on TV, you guys are famous. And I'm looking at this shit like this is some Illuminati conspiracy type stuff. Like, they're trying to desensitize people so that way you're not going to think anything about it when they do say, okay, now there's cameras in the TV and we can flip it on and we can watch it anytime. And they've been doing this since the 90s, so don't get it twisted. They've been putting cameras in the TV, but now they're desensitizing it, so now you think it's cool for the networks to watch you watch what you're supposedly interested in, but they're really watching what the hell is going on in your household. Oh, yeah, that show was a trip.
You make a great point because, like, when you say that, I liken it to one where there was a science class experiment where they had the frog and they put it in a pot of cold water and they slowly cranked it up and the frog didn't do anything. It just adjusted until it died. It's no different than this Norwellian stuff to where you're getting used to the technological chains that they put on. It's like, you know what, hey, you can watch people watching other people. But really, the same thing is done to you even worse. Like these phones, like a lot of these other things, not to sit there and really spook people out, but just to let people know, like, the obvious is taking place. They're all watching us. You know, what we do, what we say, how we do things, credit card purchases. You know, they got cameras everywhere, not just on the highway freeways, but all kind of places. You know, they monitor your spending habits, and they do all kind of crazy shit. You know, it's no different than us being, like, little guinea pigs in a little glass pen. So that's the creepy part about how things are starting to go compared to what we used to do. I mean, again, like, when it comes to relationships, there used to be a time where you would have had to not only introduce yourself to the family, but you would have to get permission to either go a certain level with the daughter and go on, you know, and take it further. Now, dude just come pull up, he blow the horn or send her a text message, what's up, bitch? And then there it is. And no one says anything. Or the lack of discipline where you had less crime, less crazy shit than we do now. Because now it's everybody going wild. You never heard of no parents out there putting their kids in microwaves or, you know, there were pedophiles at the time, but now it's to the point where certain apps can pinpoint the path that you go with your child or the position of where your child is. And I seen this on the news the other day. Like, they can actually find out where you're at, like where you have, like, on Facebook or where they say, you know, such and such is at a certain location. They can find where your child is or which side of the park your child is just at random.
Right. And that show that I was talking about, the creepy show, is called The People's Couch. I posted a link in the chat room so y'all can see it. But, yeah, it was a show on Bravo, and they were trying to basically desensitize people thinking that the shit was cool, and I seen through it. I was like, yeah, right, okay. Bill Nerd is saying that there was a case in PA where the government was watching teens from their laptops to see if they did homework. Sean is saying that your phone and computers have cameras. How hard is it for you to be spied on? And then he also says, try finding an electronic without a camera in it. And I put that you can. It's very rare. It's very rare to even now if you have a flip phone, even those little flip phones, the prepaid ones, come with a camera in there. It's rare to have an old school phone. And a lot of times, even if you try and have like the old school, like you remember when the flat screens first came out?
Yeah.
Even now, if you try and use those, they're not going to work on that frequency anymore. Because remember back in the day, I mean, we're not that old, John. Remember, you could just plug your TV into the wall, and you would get at least basic channels. You didn't need, you know, you might need like a little bunny rabbit antenna, but you could get basic channels just from plugging your TV into the wall. But once they changed to high def, you know, folks are so excited. Oh, I can see stuff crystal clear. But what people didn't realize is just because you're seeing it crystal clear, they were changing the frequency. So it wasn't about necessarily seeing a better picture. It's now that they have to tap into the frequency. Now they have a way to go into your home and see certain things. So it's a lot bigger than just being able to see a clearer picture because they wanted anybody to convert. Remember they were trying to give them old folks converter boxes? And some of the old folks were like, nah, we're good. And then when people weren't taking them converter boxes, they just said, fuck it. If you don't have HD, if you don't have, you know, cable through the cable company or Dish Network, you just can't have TV. So we all had to.
That was sometime around 2006, between 2006 and 2007, they talked about there was a big switch. Now, it was actually 2007, we said in February, there was a big switch on the analog, how they were going to do channels, how things are going to be high def. And they talked about that for the longest time. It was like, you know, you got to get on this high def thing, otherwise you're basically going to be locked out. And soon after that happened, everything's been changing. They changed from hardwire cable. When I used to do cable at Comcast, now they're doing fiber optics.
Mm-hmm.
So all they can do is you can no longer have bootleg cable. You can't sit there and, like, feed off someone's line like you used to. Now they can sit there, like, from the station. If you ain't supposed to have it, they can just hit a button and shut your shit off.
And zap it. Yeah, that was a thing in North Carolina.
Yeah.
When we lived in North Carolina, did nobody pay for cable. If you was paying for cable in North Carolina, you was a fool. Because nobody down south, well, in our area, was paying for cable because you just hit up the cable man, get him some money, and he had the little key. He flipped the switch, and that was it. When I talked to my friends in North Carolina, they're like, they put an end to that. They're like, nah, they just stayed from their little, like you said, from the little cable station. They flick the switch. They see if you ain't supposed to have it. They just flick the switch and turn it off now. Ain't no more lock and key, y'all. It's a wrap.
that was my hustle. When I was doing cable,
right.
I had that key. I had people sit there, hey, you know, can I get a little extra something like that? Put a little money in my pocket. Sure enough, I took a trap off, and there you had that little cable thing. Now, whatever happened with you and the cable company, that's on you. Because then,
I did my thing. That was everybody's hustle in North Carolina. And what was so funny, my homegirl did that. I said only she would get a bad bootleg cable man. How about the cable man? How about every time the cable man needed some money? Her shit got cut off, and then he would call and knock on her door 10 minutes later like, I had a feeling that your cable might have been off. She's like, you turned it off.
Yeah.
He's like, well, you got some money? He would come to her house once a month and cut off her cable on purpose. I said, how the hell did you hook up with that bootleg dude?
back then it was like when it came to like the bootleg cable, they sent me or some other guys to sit there and basically go in someone's yard, and we had to sneak in there and like, cut the cable itself, the cable wire itself. Now, I've been chased by a few dogs. I've been chased by quite a few people. But then you got to go out and do that. But then they ain't got to do that no more now. Because now, again, you got to ask yourself, now that they have the power to sit there and shut off your cable anytime, who's to say they're not watching you the whole time?
Boom. Yep. Once they change that frequency, they knew what they was doing. It wasn't so much about trying to stop people from getting bootleg cable. They was changing. I remember everybody used to have them cheater boxes, too, back in the like late 90s. Everybody had cheater boxes.
Yep.
That's what they used to use up in Minnesota. Because down south, they used the key. But up here, up north, they was using them cheater boxes, and people would bring them in from New York and all that other crap. But, when they changed that frequency, that was a wrap, too. Yep, that was a wrap. You could get them cheater boxes. This was before Craigslist. Maybe had them little advertisements. It was like a newspaper, like the little local, like a little local paper. And they'd have a bunch of cheetah boxes for $100. Get your own cheetah box. And that's what they called them. But, then they would just go ahead. And once they changed the frequency, it's like that was a wrap. You had to at least, you got to pay for it. Now you ain't got no choice. You can't watch Hip Hop New York or Real Housewives of Atlanta without paying for it now unless you watch it online.
And, the other thing that, we forgot is, like, they took away from, when we was, younger. When we were younger, we learned conflict resolution for ourselves. If there was a problem at school at 3:15, we go out there and we hash that shit out. We box it up, and then we go about our way. Or if, you had kids who, had some, who were taught some good influence, they would break things up. They would smooth things over. Nowadays, you're having these punks who basically have, like, bitch camp, and that's what I'm going to call it. Because now they, send these kids to get bullied at school, and then, they sit there talk about their feelings, and then they get their ass kicked as soon as they go home. So, again, you no longer have kids being able to talk to protect themselves or to, like, value themselves. It's just all about you got kids and you got some people either fighting, shooting, or killing each other over not receiving likes on their post or all kind of silly shit that you see on social media. You get people go over there and you see it on videos, people getting beat the fuck up over an assumption or worse.
Right. Yeah, they're definitely teaching the kids of this generation to be more passive and docile and to rely on the school to fix their problems. Just even some of the notices that come home with my kids, it's just like, what the hell? This is a notification? This is just a reminder to all the kids that, we're not here to hurt each other's feelings and, this can be considered bullying. And the stuff that they have on there for, for bullying, it's just like normal stuff that kids do, like, things that we did. Something as stupid as, untying somebody's shoelace. Or I remember one day I was in music class, And I don't know what I was running around. I was like in fifth grade. I was running around the music class. And this boy stuck his damn foot out. Bam! I went flying. I'm talking about busted my ass. Went flying. Okay. Nowadays, that would be considered bullying. I call it taking an L. You know what I mean? Like, kids are going to be kids. Yes, looking back on it, I was salty. I don't even think I cried, but I was embarrassed as hell. But guess who didn't run around the classroom no more? My black ass. I sat down. Yeah. I didn't run around the class. No, I ain't been tripped since. So, you know what I mean? Some things just happen. And that's just, you know, that's just childhood things. Like, kids are going to be kids, and kids, you know, everybody's just not going to like you. That's life. And it's like, why are we trying to make it where, oh, everybody has to like everybody, even if you have a nasty personality, or even if you're stuck up, or even if you're just, you know, some people are just nasty people. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I have to like them just because we go to school together? No, how about you go your way? I wish you well in life, and I'm going to go my way. And that's that whole kumbaya mentality that I can't stand because it's fake. I'd rather not have you as a friend than to have you as a fake friend or a fake associate. And see, that gets to my point about that girl who got beat up outside the club, that Kim Fong, that beautiful Asian girl. Okay, case in point, fake-ass friends. You mean to tell me that she went to the club with all her homegirls or her homeboys? It was a group of them. They said she was in a group. And when the photobomb situation happened, when she walked through their picture and accidentally photobombed them, they started arguing back and forth. So she was exchanging some words with the people was exchanging words with her, then her crew was getting into it with them people as well. Once the fight broke out, she's by herself getting jumped by five people.
And she died.
And that's my point. Right, and she died. They killed her over a photobomb. And now everybody want to be on the news crying and boo-hooing, and that was my friend. She was such a good person. Well, if you was down there at the club with her, how the hell you let her get jumped? And that's why I say everybody ain't your friend, and we're raising people to be, you know, in this kumbaya fake world that we're all friends and everything's all good. No, I'd rather not have you as a friend. I'd rather have no damn friends than to have a bunch of fake people around me. I ain't got time for that. I can count on one hand now how many friends I have. I can count on one hand how many people I talk to in a week. And it ain't but a few. Besides my mama and my kids and probably my brothers, and I talk to you damn every day because you're a stalker. That's it.
I was like that.
Rather be calling me at 6 o'clock in the morning. What you doing? Getting ready for work. What are you doing? I was calling running at like 7 a.m. What you want? Man, I'm sleeping. Yeah, wake up.
And I'm just waking up.
I need you to talk to me till I get to work. And that's about it. It's like I'd rather just have, you know, just be cool with people than just be on some fake stuff because that girl lost her life for no reason whatsoever. I mean, that whole situation was just sad, you know, and to know that she was with people. It wasn't like she was just down there by herself. She was with a group of people, and everybody sat there and pulled out their cell phones to record a fight as opposed to trying to help her.
And that's the sad part. I remember you talked about someone getting pushed off on an elevated train on the tracks, and no one tried to help this person. They only took one person to help this person. Everyone else had their camera out taking a picture of the whole shit. No one is looking out for, you know, each other anymore. Because, you know, again, there's a time when you had your friends at school, and whenever y'all got in a fight, y'all either got y'all ass kicked together or y'all whooped ass together, period.
Right.
Or when you was getting bullied at school and you came home crying, my parents gave me an option. Look, you need to go out there and whoop their ass, or you can come back home and me and your daddy kick your ass. Now, given my choice, I beat the shit out of that person. I wasn't going home. I wasn't taking that kind of hell.
Right, but nowadays that's considered bad parenting. Your fault is just,
no,
you know,
it isn't.
Kumbaya.
Things got screwed up when they gave the kids that 900 hotline to where, say, if you feel like you're getting abused, you can call. And they basically took the disciplining authority from the parents. When the kids started feeling that they can sit there and talk and be bad and threaten their parents, you know, they felt they got some little power and they got in their head. That's what really separated families out there. And again, not too many parents stood their ground, you know, and actually gave a damn about their children. They figured, no, I'm gonna be their friend, I'm gonna try to buy their loyalty and everything like that, and look at the shit that is happening today. all of it.
Right. You're right about that.
Oh.
You are so right. There's somebody on hold. Let me see who this is. Area code 216. 216, you're live on the air. Hello? Oh, put him back on hold. I don't know who that is. But, yeah, it's the truth. And they're saying in the chat room, VH1 Access is saying, what I really hate now is that people are so quick to record shit. Nobody helps anymore. And Bill O'Nerd is saying, you know somebody put out their camera and yelled out Wall Star. And that's the truth. We just gotten real complacent.
If you really think about it, a lot of this technology has actually dehumanized us. We no longer have any empathy like we used to. We don't, you know, care about our fellow man or woman. You got people who give a shit about a dog more than they give about someone else. Or you basically see a lot of this this carriage of misjustice. I mean, a biased justice nowadays, where you have a kid who basically plowed over four people and, you know, cites affluenza and has probation, where you have someone like I don't know, smoking weed, and they get caught, they're either doing life or some serious time.
Right.
This doesn't make any sense nowadays. I mean, the punishment never fits the crime nowadays. And you know, you got some little bitch-made dude like George Zimmerman who had help getting out of there. Now he's basically adding more fuel to the fire. He had, like, a picture of Trayvon, you know, dad kissing him and sitting there smiling and shit. Basically, he keeps himself in the news, and dude needs to be fucking careful. Because he going to slip up, and someone going to sit there and put that dude in the dirt. Straight up.
Yeah, I agree. It is. And people are hitting me up on Twitter, too, saying that Pretty Girl is saying that I agree, Lovely T, everything is impersonal now due to electronics. Bill O'Nerd is saying that he was on Facebook the other day, and one of his friends, little cousin, was literally given a minute-by-minute update of the sex that they were having with their girlfriend. Yep, it's that real.
See.
People are that thirsty for attention. I mean, you think about a lot of the stuff that we see on the internet, you know, folks, like the girl who put the little hammer to her stomach, talking about, if it's not a boy, I'm a kill the baby, or, you know, girls taking pictures of their pregnant stomach, talking about, you know, should I get an abortion, yeah or nah? It's like, what? You know, you have pictures of the one girl, she was at the abortion clinic, like, about to get an abortion in the clinic with the stirrups on her legs and everything. It's like, what in the world? There's nothing private anymore. There's no more shame. People don't care. You know, you'll have people who, they'll post their damn peen pictures in a minute, post some topless pics in a minute, and not realizing, like, you know, once you put that out there, you know, that's everybody seeing it. You know, it's just, it's crazy. You have kids now, you know, and the kids do it. People get so mad at the kids, and I try and defend the kids because at the end of the day, children emulate what they see. And I think we as adults, you know, a lot of us as adults, we've just messed up. I mean, we're already a jacked up generation. I mean, you know, all the kids from the damn 90s and 80s, we were okay, but then, you know, we kind of got jacked up near the end of the 90s, early 2000s.
Yeah.
And now, you know, a lot of us are parents now. So, and with technology, it's almost like a lot of us are trying to relive our childhood. Like, dang, you know, if they had Facebook when I was a kid, I've been doing this. So you have so many of the parents showing out, and the kids are seeing it, thinking it's okay. So, therefore, the kids are repeating it. You know, it is. It's just, it's crazy. Like, I remember one of my nieces on Facebook page, and she's 15 now, about to be 16. And so, you know, I was on her Facebook page. She had spent the night, and she was on my laptop and stuff, and she's pulling up all these pictures. And I'm like, ooh, who's that? He's cute. Who is that? They're all kids in her damn high school, topless. They're about to be some grown man. I said, what? She was like, oh, that's my homeboy. I said, well, how do you know that grown man? She's like, he's not grown. He's 15. I was like, what? In the mirror, topless, buff as hell. I mean, every dude from her school. I'm like, y'all don't wear clothes when y'all take selfies anymore? Like, this is what young boys do. So I had to tell my son, I don't want to see, because, you know, he got a Facebook page, Instagram. I said, I don't want to see you on none of them internet sites with your shirt off. You know, because now he's trying to get buff a little bit. You're going to keep your shirt on.
Yeah.
because I thought these were grown men, and they were all young boys in high school with her. But that's like the thing now. They all take pictures topless, and, you know, she got in trouble because she had posted a picture of her in a bikini. And we're like, really? Really, you taking pictures in the bathroom in bikinis? So her foster mom made her take down the picture and everything else. You know, I have other nieces that I try and stay on top of, but it's like, you know, their parents don't care. There ain't too much I can do. You know, the kids just be off the chain. The parents either don't know, they don't care. So it's like, I can only really worry about my two. But if I see some real, real crazy stuff that the kids are posting, you know, I'll get on there and I'll say a little bit something. But it's just, it's a mess. It's a mess of stuff I be seeing. That's why I deleted. I done deleted about 3 Facebook pages because it's like I get tired of just all the bullshit that people upload and the attention horn. Right now, I got another Facebook page, my 4th one. Ain't nobody on me but Ronan and Nikki, my body beach coach. Ain't but two of
them.
And that's something. I had a Facebook page of like 2,000 people. I deleted it. And I had another one. I had about 400 people. Deleted that one. I just got tired of it. Now I got 2 people, and I'm cool. So the only thing I just run is my fan page because everything else is just too much of a headache.
Yeah, but when you think about it, you know, aside from technology, how society has changed. When's the last time have you honestly sat down with a family and ate dinner and discussed things like a family? It's unheard of nowadays. When's the last time you went to a family reunion and had fun without everyone breaking off in cliques or some people not even showing up? When's the last time that you've been able to go over to somebody's house and introduce yourself to a neighbor, you know, and say, hey, how you doing? How many know their neighbors and they've been living there for more than 5 years?
Right.
We've been connected to people across state lines. But then when you come to reality, a lot of us have alienated ourselves behind a laptop or in our own homes. Basically, we don't even know the people around us. If we needed help, we're to the point where we couldn't even trust our own, you know, people that we knew, maybe slightly knew in passing, going to get in the mail, even family members. It's that bad now. Yep.
You're right. It is. It's that sad. It's like everybody just wants to stay in their own little bubble, you know, because it's like it's kind of sad now to the point where you really can't trust folks nowadays, you know, because people just be on some crazy stuff. It's just too many crazy stories out here, people wilding out, you know. So it's to the point now where everybody's just kind of cold and distant and keeping to themselves. Because when I first moved in, you know, a few neighbors came and introduced themselves to me, but the rest of them, they just stare, and I stare back, shit, you know, and I keep them moving, you know, it is. It's really sad, and a lot of that humanity is not there anymore. You know, even with my situation, even with the situation with Kwame, Billiner brought that up in the chat room about the whole Kwame situation and all his baby's mamas finding out on Facebook about him having the kids by each other like it's normal. But when you take a look at that, this man killed his mother for attention on the internet, attention and validation. I mean, like
$90,000.
Right, that case literally, when people say, you know, do these stories that you do ever bother you? A lot of these stories bother me, trust me. A lot of them bother me like hell because me and Ronan talk about them a lot before I even do a video. You know, so a lot of the stories really bother me, but Kwame's situation, I think that story broke me down. Like, I cried like that was my own mother. And I told y'all that on Facebook. Oh, I was in tears because I just couldn't imagine that, because everything that she did for that boy is just like, damn, I look at myself like everything I try to do for my kids and, you know, I bust my ass through my chronic illness and, you know, working and just trying to make sure that they have and trying to be, you know, be a decent parent, not perfect, but just decent, trying to do what I can to raise them. And she did the same thing. Like, I didn't read nothing bad about her. Like, you know, usually when you hear a story, like, they're like, oh, the mama was a crackhead, she was in and out of jail, she had 6 kids by 6 different people. Nah, this woman owned her own business. That was her only child. She didn't have a bunch of other kids. So she spoiled him. She looked out for him. She did, you know, the best that she knew she could do. And that's why I feel like you can't spoil your kids like that, because sometimes some kids just don't appreciate it. But she did so much, not only to help her son, to better herself, to better her community. And the crazy part is, like everybody said, because I got a lot of inside knowledge from people emailing me, you know, even more details. And from the people who were at her funeral, from the people who knew Yolanda, they were also saying that if Kwame would have just asked his mother for half that shit that he was busy flossing on Facebook, Yolanda nine times out of ten would have gave it to him. She had bought him that Mustang with the Lambo doors. She bought that for him. So it's like this kid didn't want for nothing. And when I see other children who, like the little boy, I just did the story about the little Haitian boy, the just adorable kid who was killed and tortured by his mother. You know, when I see stories like that, it's like you weren't abused, you weren't sexually molested, you lived in a good home, you ate good, you went to prom, you went to the best schools, he went to a private school. Your mother looked out for you. You have kids out here who don't never make it, who are shown no love, who are abused, whose parents ignore them, whose parents, you know, treat them like they were a mistake. And you had all of that, and you chose social media and the validation of motherfuckers who have now turned on you over your mother. When I tell y'all that story broke my heart, it still breaks my heart to this day, you know, thinking about that story. And he went to court. Matter of fact, he had court on Martin Luther King Day, when I heard. I don't know what the outcome was because the lady ain't emailed me back, but she was telling me he had court that Monday. And the last I heard is when he had went for his one of his arraignments, a few of his cousins were in the courtroom, and they started, you know, screaming at him and calling him a murderer and going off on him. They had to escort them out the courtroom. But, yeah, that whole Kwame situation I don't understand that at all. I can't even wrap my head around that one.
Well, this falls into that mindset we used to have, whatever happens in this house stays in this house. And a lot of unresolved issues will transcend, you know, your growth in that house. You know, going to your other relationships. With Kwame, that dude was spoiled rotten. He was, like you said, he didn't have to want for anything. But the sad part is, he wasn't taught to earn and appreciate anything. And there was little bit of discipline. And even if there was, there are some kids that no matter, you can be the most phenomenal parents on the planet, there's some kids who are just going to fuck up regardless. They just, every time you say right, they go wide left. That's just the nature of it. But it says a great deal when you decide to orchestrate the brutal murder of your parents. I mean, we thought it was crazy when the Menendez brothers and a few others did that shit, but this is starting to become a little too common now.
Right.
And there's been quite a few videos of dude sitting there doing that. What's that little, what's that dude, no sensation? They're doing little twerking videos. He was showing a little bit of moist behavior. And again, for him to do all that little that crazy stuff, this is why I do not promote a lot of this strong and independent movement. Because again, when you have a father in a relationship, there's supposed to be some kind of balance. You know, he's supposed to, you know, glean from his male role figure. If not his father, could have been an uncle or someone that, you know, was looking out for him as far as, you know, his male development. But again, with the absence of that, you find a lot of people who complain about these so-called down-low dudes and their influences, mainly, you know, the one who was there. So not to say, like, really rain down on, you know, his mother, who was doing everything that she could possibly do, but there were certain things that she shouldn't have shared with him at that age. You know, she shouldn't have said anything about the money situation. Because again, like, if we've learned anything time and time again, family is usually the first one to fuck you the hardest. Usually.
Mm-hmm.
And especially nowadays, you've got people who will kill you for a dollar. Your so-called blood. I've had family members fall out, and she's probably listening to this. Fuck her. But a cousin who, me and her fell out over $3,000 that I lent her. She wasn't even looking to pay that back, but it took a year and a half for give it back. And then she had some snide comments like, you know what? She basically, you know, blamed, you know, the split between me and her. Because I had the audacity to ask for the money back that I loaned
her. Right, to ask for your money back. People kill me with that shit.
Yeah. So you'd be surprised at people's intentions. You know, again, you know, he was her son, but if she was going to do things the right way, she should have shown him how to learn the business. Now, not to say that wouldn't have prevented him from doing what he did, because, again, people have their own agendas and do what they do. But had there been a level of respect and discipline and reverence for, you know, him and his mom, this situation wouldn't happen, or it's less likely to. But we don't see that nowadays. We just have a bunch of basically wine cooler intuition babies. You know, people are not asking questions when they lay down with people beforehand. You know, you're not seeing nobody, you know, like, look, let's go to the free clinic and, you know, get the results so that I know that I'm clean. And since we're not doing that, you'll have that guy from college who slept with 30 people, not knowing whoever they slept with, they happen to be diagnosed with AIDS. Who knows who else it came with that fallout, because they're not asking questions.
Yeah, that was a crazy story. You know, and yeah, you're correct with that one. It's like so many folks are so quick out here to just, you know, sleep with any and everybody and not use protection. And I believe that those 31 guys, they bear some of that responsibility, you know, so that at the end of the day, he didn't rape them. It was all consensual sex. So, you know, while he's wrong, too, for sitting here spreading AIDS, they also have to take some of that personal responsibility. I mean, just you have no choice but to. If you guys remember back in 2009, I had did the show. It was a show we had did about AIDS, and I had a woman come on. She had full-blown AIDS. Remember Ms. Deborah? She was from Boston.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, Ms. Deborah, I haven't talked to Ms. Deborah in years. I hope she's doing good, and I hope, you know, she's in good health. It's been a few years since I talked to her, but she was such a sweetheart. And she came on, and she talked to all of us about AIDS and, you know, the day that she got her results back, and they came back a positive, and her boyfriend had been cheating on her. And, you know, she went through a lot. But one thing Ms. Deborah never did, she said, even though he gave it to me, I had to take personal responsibility for the ex that I played in it. You know, even though it was my boyfriend, I suspected he was cheating. I never, you know, made him wear a condom. And so a lot of us, you know, a lot of us have been guilty of that. So that's why you can never look down on anybody's situation, you know, with their status or if they have AIDS or not, because a lot of us have done risky things when it's come to sex, you know, so... I just think that you have to learn from it and be smart, because it can happen to you. It can happen to any of us, you know, and it's real out here. And you have a lot of just evil people out here who are to the point now where, like you said, with technology and social media, we've lost that humanity chip. We don't have that humanity and compassion for each other. Whereas, you know, back in the early days when people would have contracted AIDS, it was serious. You know, you told your friends, you told your family, and yes, there was stigma. Yes, there was backlash. Yeah, I remember the Ryan White situation, the 13-year-old white boy, Ryan White. I remember reading about him when I was a kid. He died in the 80s. Remember, he had AIDS, and they treated him like crap. They didn't want him going to school with their kids. They protested. You know, poor Ryan died at, like, age 14, and he's still one of my heroes to this day. You know, he was a really strong kid. I remember, you know, because I was around when he was still alive, so I remember him being, like, on the Maury Show and on Oprah Winfrey. And, you know, you look at how much the stigma was when we were growing up. I mean, it was a big stigma. You know, you just couldn't have HIV and just think that, you know, it was all good. Now it's, I mean, there's still that stigma there, don't get me wrong, but now it's not as big as a stigma, and people are still being sneaky and, you know, not being honest about their status. So to me, you can't just take somebody's word for it. You have to go get tested. You need to go get tested either together or go to the clinic, but you have to see the paperwork. It's just, it has to be to that point out where you have to see the paperwork. You can't just take somebody's word for it. It doesn't matter how pretty they are or how cute a guy is or how big his, you know, schlong is or, you know, how fat her ass is. That means nothing. That means nothing. You know, so it's like we have to be smart. And sometimes in the heat of the moment, yes, it can be hard. But you have to really think to yourself now, you know, especially I think as you get older, because, you know, when you're younger, kids are just sometimes impulsive. But I think especially with older folks, you know, if you're getting into your late 20s, early 30s, you have to just start using better judgment. You know, you have to start looking at that person like, okay, if I sleep with this person, is this person worthy of being my child's father? If I sleep with this person, I contract something, is it worth it? I mean, that's really how you have to start looking at stuff nowadays, because it's that real.
Yeah. And I think there was a time where, you know, we were younger, as soon as we got off of school, we had shows like, you know, the ABC afternoon special. We had, you
Captain
know,
Planet.
Yeah, Captain Planet, Schoolhouse Rock. We had all kind of things that, you know, kept us in the learning mode, but it made it fun, to where they put little songs where we actually learned it that way. Where's the last time you heard anything close to that nowadays? We don't have anything near there. And you look back at that stuff like, dang, where has the emphasis on education and learning gone? Where you have people, yeah, they can learn some things like programs as far as like how to make a Facebook page, but then like you look at some people in some high-level sports getting made major money. Some just sign their name with an X on a multi-million-dollar contract because they can't either read or, and not sit there and knock on Fantasia like I usually do, but then you have those who slip through the cracks on purpose. Just because they have a talent, you know, they get a pass, and again, they're setting them up for failure, I mean, to be controlled. So this is why it's important to, like, show love for yourself, you know, and you have
right.
to be around people who give a damn about you, you know, and we're starting to lose all that because, again, you know, there are some people who have things in place to capitalize on our, you know, our divisive nature. They have jail cells for people. They have all kind of means to make money in spite of you or, you know, everything you want to do positive. You got some people who stand in the way of that. And I don't like the fact that once you go to jail, you got people who can put your basically your life on the stock market and make major money, put their kids through college and everything to this day, and possibly
right.
the littlest of little shit.
That's the truth. We have about 5 minutes left here, so it's going
wow.
by really quick. We've been on for about an hour and a half, so we're going to get ready to wrap it up here in about 5 minutes. But it's been a really good show, lots of good discussions in the chat room. You know, a lot of people, you know, listening in on stuff on the line. But, yeah, you know, it's a lot of things that we can take from this discussion that we had tonight. I think one of the things I'll take away from it is, you know, like I always say, everybody's not your friend. You have to be careful who you call a friend, and you definitely have to be careful who you let in your bed. A lot of real shady
yeah.
people out here and people who don't care. And you have people who don't care about their lives. So if somebody don't care about their lives, they damn sure ain't going to care about yours. And I think that's one thing I always try and look for when I look for a good associate or a so-called friend is, what are their goals? What are they doing in life? You know, do they have goals? Are they a positive
yeah.
person, or is everything, woe is me, and, you know, it's such and such's fault, and I went through this as a kid, and, you know, we all go through shit. So now what?
Yeah.
So those are some of the things I look for when I look for a friend. You know, I want to be around people who are like-minded, who have the same goals, who are positive. And it's like, if you're not about that, if you just on some, you know, some nonsense, we can't hang out. And people who are just honest with themselves. I don't like fake people either. Like, you know, people act like they're just so bougie and, oh, I would never shit.
Yeah.
I watch Ratchet TV. I watch Real Housewives. You know what I mean? I'm a regular person. So it's just like, you know, let's do some regular shit together. Let's have fun. Let's be friends. But it's not worth it if they can't treat you with the same respect or have your back the same way that you would have theirs. When it's one-sided, it's time to let that go.
Yeah, and that's something I take away as well. Because speaking from personal experience, when it comes to the whole, you know, the sexual situations, being in a situation where I was in there being careless, and I was in there drinking some real serious liquor and everything like that, I had a woman take advantage, and come to find out, she burned me with chlamydia, and she had it for 6 months or so. She had the medication,
mm.
you know, I found out, and me, you know, just, and I thought I got burnt by the chick that I was messing with on the regular. She ended up getting burnt too, and, you know, again, having to take one and explain the whole way what happened and that long screwed up conversation, and then going and feeling that embarrassment of having that, you know, basically your boar punched, you know, for a culture sample. not only did that shit hurt like hell, but it was embarrassing. And then this chick that burnt me, she felt it was cool. No, she didn't even know that. She said, like, well, how come we can't have a serious relationship? And that's when I took that manila fold and I threw it right in front of her. And when she opened it up, all she had was, like, a weak-ass apology. So you got some people who don't even care about themselves enough to, like, take care of their health, their hygiene, or their life. And if you got someone who you can't trust with your innermost secrets, you can't talk to unedited or be honest or be yourself with, or even someone who respects you enough to tell you the truth, even if it hurts, that says a whole lot what you're dealing with. And it's not to depress people about having sex, but the thing is, like, people have to have open and honest dialogue, honestly. I mean, this
I'm
is some real shit.
I'm not even having sex.
Yeah, I mean, because you get a lot of people who like to press you in a situation that you're not feeling. They don't take your feelings into account. They don't take your life into account. They just figure they just want what they want when they want it. But y'all have to sit down and talk about things, because sex is more than just a quick nut or whatever it is. It is communication on so many levels. You take a part of that person with you on a whole nother level. It's a whole lot of chemical exchanges. It's a lot of feelings involved. Even though people say, you know, hey, I ain't trying to catch no feelings, you're going to feel something. Or unless you've been having sex so much to where you lose that oxycontin, to where that connection is gone. So,
that's disgusting.
I mean, it's real stuff. You got to really...
Yeah, people do. Work yourself into an early grade when you just have sex like that, like a damn rabbit all the time with just random people. You tend to die of a heart attack early. I read that somewhere. So keep on fucking like you ain't got no damn sense.
And the thing is, it takes much more than a fucking condom. Everyone likes to sit there and put their faith on a thin piece of plastic, which basically has a failure rate of 30% or better. The best contraceptive is common sense. If I sit there and feel comfortable about this person, and I know this person cares about themselves and they care about me, then that's, you know, you have a solid chance on everything. If y'all can't go to the free clinic together, stop fucking with them on that level. That's just straight up. Because you got people who are terrified to find out what they do have, because they either had that much sex or they're just, like, careless about their life. So, aside from that level, if I can't talk to you on a level to where I can be myself and I have to sit there and put on some airs, you know, be something that I'm not, you're not worth the time. And that's why I'm glad I, you know, have, you know, people in my corner like Lovely T and a few others. And my circle is pretty small. But, you know, seeing the people that we talk to on the radio and be honest with, you know, I enjoy seeing different perspectives, seeing, you know, how people live, how people learn and what they know. You know, you got to expand your, you know, horizons besides what you see in the neighborhood. I've been overseas and I've seen some things in, you know, some different perspectives. But the real classroom is outside 3 o'clock. It's way outside of that.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I take with it every, that's why I take every day.
Amen. And we can leave on that note. I think that's a real deep note, you know, and everything Ronan is saying is true. You know, we have to be smart and, you know, enjoy life, live it, you know, but just be smart. And let's stop living in a bubble. Let's go out there and meet people and you know, literally meet people, not just on the internet, not just, you know, via Facebook. Let's start being human again and treating people, you know, with that human empathy. We have to start somewhere. And it may just take one person to do it, but I think if more than one person do it, if we all collectively do it together, that can start a cycle. You know, just even smiling at somebody at the grocery store, saying hi, you know, just something as simple as basic conversation can make somebody's day, because you never know what they're going through.
AT?
You never know. Mm-hmm.
Can you speak on Pharrell wearing that fucking Smokey Bear hat? He had no fucking business doing that shit.
I'm going to need y'all to get y'all's likes in the chat room. I am Pharrell out. Y'all stop sending me Pharrell memes. The memes be cracking me up with that Smokey the Bear hat. Oh, my gosh. I can't with Pharrell. Even Arby's was clowning him like, can we get our hat back?
Hey, somebody needs to get the word to Apollo from Real Housewives from Atlanta. You better protect your cheeks, son.
Apollo was fighting. He was fighting in the jail last night because, you know, lights out at 10 o'clock. The same way he was fighting Brandon on that show, that's how he was fighting right now last night in Fulton County Jail.
I got next.
I saw that situation's a mess. We'll talk about that on Friday. Anyway, we're going to go ahead and get up out of here. We are down to 15 seconds. So thank you to everybody who joined us in the chat room. Thank you to everybody who called in and listened in on the show. Sorry we didn't take any calls tonight. We've been dealing with a lot of trolling issues, so we kind of wanted to keep the calls to a minimum. Maybe we'll take some calls Friday. But I had a really good discussion tonight. So, you know, thank you for joining me tonight, Ronan. And sorry it was short, you know, such short notice on a Monday, but I figured let's make up for last time since we didn't get to do a show Friday.
And I want to say on behalf of Lovely T, I'm going to find every last troll out there, and I'm going to build a time machine. I'm going to go back when you was a little baby. I'm going to wrap you in aluminum foil and put you in a microwave.
You are such a mess. All right. I will see y'all tomorrow. I'll be making some new videos tomorrow because I'm off work. So y'all send me any requests that you guys have, and I will talk to y'all later. Bye.
All right, y'all.